facing a life full of storms. If you've lived long enough, you've met the storm. And they come in all shapes and sizes, expected and unexpected. And today we want to look at a passage that Matthew has wed together, where he takes two seemingly unrelated stories and puts them together so that we can face the lives of storm, the storms of life, and we can survive. See, let's see if I can get this to work. This is the life of Christ. You know, Christ came to earth and he, for a long time, you didn't hear anything. And then he burst onto the scenes. And he lived a life and invited people to know who he is. And he invited people to follow him. You know, when you look at discipleship, he's going to invite people to come with him, to walk down the dusty road that he did. And they're going to follow him. But the end of the journey is the cross. And he's going to come and say, come with me. Come with me to the cross. We would say today, volunteer to be shot. And people say, you know, what's wrong with you? Come with me. Because the cross is just one station. Come with me to the cross and beyond. When we look at this story is an amazing story. It has two parts to it. Luke records one part, and Luke, Matthew, and Mark record the other part, the presence of Christ in the storm. Matthew and Luke have it just the call to the discipleship. In the first year of Christ's ministry, he was traveling around presenting himself, who he is, and what his message was. And he picked up on what John the Baptist said. And it's all in the area of Galilee. And so all the people in Galilee are going to know about Christ and his miracles and what he has done. And he raises curiosity. They're going to be in this area, Capernaum, and on the eastern side of the Lake of Galilee. And Matthew weds these two stories together. They're chronologically separated, but he puts them together to teach us as disciples what we really need. In the second year of his ministry, and that's when we are going to pick up the story, he's going around presenting his ministry as he has before. There's growing opposition. And he is inviting people to follow him and to commit to his ministry and to his person. And we find these two stories in the middle of the second ministry. He spent the day in Capernaum. He's healed a lot of people. He's just healed Peter's mother-in-law. And as the day draws to a conclusion, he wants to set out and leave to go across the sea. If you've ever been there, it's a wonderful place. Green. The Sea of Galilee is like a blue pearl in the middle of green silk. It's a wonderful place. And he's going to set across the sea. And he walks down the dusty road. And he comes to the edge of the sea. And just before he climbs in the boat, the teacher of the law comes to him. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever I go, wherever you go." And you say, well, he's a great candidate to follow. He knows the Bible. He's committed to the Word of God. But he uses the word teacher. And in Matthew, that's only used of Christ on the lips of unbelievers. And there's something wrong with him. And Jesus responds in a very unusual manner. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have a place to live. That's actually what the word means. But the Son of Man, the man who is to rule the earth as God's representative, he has no place to place his head. I want you to remember that phrase because it's going to become important in just a minute. Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." And Jesus said, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." And the two disciples stay behind. And Jesus gets into the boat. And did you notice how Matthew words it? And his disciples followed him. The would-be followers. That's the setting for the storm. The first one, he's a great guy. He has all the qualifications that you need. He's a scribe. He knows everything about the Old Testament. He wore the signs of being committed to Christ. He would pray 3 times a day. He would give of his money. A great candidate. But Jesus sees into his heart. And Jesus' answer is a surprising rejection. You know, foxes have holes. And a fox was considered a lesser person. He is weak compared to the truly powerful. The truly powerful were the lions. Can you imagine a lion and a fox having a fight? It's an unfair fight, isn't it? And the fox will go away. The birds, they have a place to live. And I have no place. Birds are used as an image of victims and cheap life. You want to follow me? I'll offer you nothing. And you see this first disciple, he's saying, "I'll follow you, but what will you give me?" Answer, nothing. All I'll give you is my presence. And the first disciple turns away, and we hear no more of him. The second disciple comes up and says, "You know, I'm interested. I'm willing to follow, but I will follow on my conditions." And Jesus' answer is again almost unbelievable. "Follow me. Make me your first priority. Follow me." And then there's silence. And the guy says, "Let me go bury my father." And then this is the way they buried him. And he's saying, you know, my father's not dead, or he's not even dying. But let me stay around and stick around and take care of him. And then when I get everything straightened out, when it fits into my schedule, I'll follow you. Jesus says, I'm not interested. He's a different disciple. He's probably a believer. But he says, you know, Jesus, I have things that are more important than you are. I will follow you when it's convenient to me. You know what the saddest thing is? We hear no more about the disciples. They just fade into oblivion. And the lesson this passage wants to teach us, to be a disciple of Christ, we have to follow him with unwavering obedience. After all, he's the Son of Man. He's the ruler of the world. It is our privilege to follow him. He doesn't need me. It's for my benefit that he allows me to follow him. And if you want to follow the Lord Jesus, it's an all-consuming call. He promises you nothing. He tells you it will cost you, because he becomes the first priority in your life. And to follow Christ, a disciple needs unwavering obedience. And then they shove off. The sun has gone down, and they shove off. And with a group of fishermen, they're going to cross over to the sea. And they're going to experience a miracle. And they're going to prove, these miracles are going to prove who Christ is and what he can do. Mark records that other boats went with them. So they're getting ready to cross over the sea. And these disciples have committed, we'll follow you with unwavering obedience. That's scary. That's really scary to say, God, I'll follow you. I don't know what the future holds, but I'll follow you. I don't know how much it costs, I'll follow you. That's scary, isn't it? And maybe you're sitting here today and you say, you know, that's great for somebody else, but not for me. I'm willing to follow, but what's in it for me? I'm willing to follow when it's convenient to me. If you're that way, you're left behind on the coastline of the Sea of Galilee. And you don't get to see what happens. But you see, unwavering obedience is not enough for a disciple of Christ. They need something else. They need this, and that's what the perfect storm is going to do for them. And that's why Matthew weds the story. This is what they need. They're going to cross over, like from Capernaum over to Bethsaida on the eastern side. It's not that far. They're shoved off here and then just kind of go over the water to the other side. This is the Sea of Galilee. It's not real big. And they get in the boat and they follow him. And they commit. The sun sets. And you would expect easy sailing. You know, these are experienced fishermen. They have been on this sea all their life. They know everything about it. So if anybody can make it across, they can. It's 13 miles north to south and 8 miles wide. They can do this in a matter of 2 hours maximum. We can handle this. This plays to our strength. We'll follow you. We can do it. Jesus, you just kind of take it easy. We'll take over. At least that's what they thought. Did you notice Jesus commanded them to go across? He knew what was going to happen. So they got in this boat and they just kind of went across and everything was going well. And they had started on their journey to become fully devoted followers of Christ. But Christ knew what they needed. They needed to learn to trust him in difficult times. You see, a unwavering obedience is not enough. You need to have unflinching faith. They needed to trust him in difficulties. So notice what happened. Without a warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. Actually, that is not a good translation. Actually, what it says is, without warning, there was a great earthquake on the sea. And these were experienced fishermen. They knew how to handle it. And the squall came in and the boat was almost ready to sink. Mark says the waves came over the side of the boat and the boat was filled up and it's sinking. And where was Jesus? He was asleep. And the waves that terrified the disciples rocked him to sleep. Why? He didn't have a home. He didn't even have a hole. But he was completely at rest in doing the will of the Father. And the disciples, they run to him and say, "Lord, save us. We are going to drown." And Jesus, he's asleep. Mark says, "Don't you care about us?" Certainly I do. I'm asleep. And you would say, you know, these people, they got it right. They have a problem that they can't handle. They go to Jesus and say, "Save us." And Jesus' response is unbelievable. You have little faith. Why are you afraid? I would have said, Jesus, you're right. Just come to me. Everything's okay. You have little faith. Why are you afraid? Don't you know that I sent you on this trip? I knew the storm was coming. I knew the waves were going to be big. Don't you trust me? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And it was completely calm. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried that. You know, a big storm is coming or a snowstorm is coming. And maybe from last winter, the snowstorm came and you just say, "Snowstorm, it's time for you to go east and leave us alone." If you haven't tried it, try it sometime. If it works, you write me an email. I want to find out how it works. I'll get you to come to Germany. And these people are astonished. How can this be? It's a surprising action. He stands up and says, "Waves, wind, shut up. I'm tired of you scaring my friends. Be quiet now." Just like that, complete calm. You could have heard a pin drop in that boat. Be quiet. The wind died down, and it was completely still, Mark records. The men were amazed, and they asked, "What kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Now, Matthew thinks, lets you think it's only the disciples that are saying this. But in Mark, we know it was the other boats as well. And they're saying, "Who is this guy? Wind and waves obey him." Well, that's an easy answer. If wind and waves obey him, he must be God. And we should listen to what he says, because the winds and the waves do. There's no back talk. There's no, "Well, I kind of want to finish this storm and then I'll do what you say. I'm kind of in the middle and busy, and I'll obey you at my convenience." No. Just like that. You see, the real followers followed him. And they're afraid and they have little faith. "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? I'm with you. I'll take care of you." And in this miracle, he reveals who he is. What kind of man is he? Yeah, they have faith, but they need to grow. It's not a question of unbelief. It's a question of, we need to grow and see who he really is. And this is a miracle that is designed to prove who he is and what he can do. It's the 12 of 35 miracles that he does in the presence of his disciples, so that they have no question of who he is and what he can do. You see, if you follow him, you need to know who he is and what he can do. You need to have unwavering obedience. You need to have unflinching faith. Maybe tonight, you'll look at the story again. You can ask yourselves the question, why does Jesus say you're afraid? You know why? They have little faith. They should have said, "You know, we're following the Lord Jesus. He knew about this big problem." When we have a big problem that we cannot handle ourselves, you know what the faith does? It says, "God, this is your problem. Let me sit back and see what you're going to do. My job is to follow you. Your job is to handle the problem." And he reveals himself as someone who can handle any problem. Nature knows and obeys. And the question is, do we? When you face storms in your life, we need to follow him. And following him may be giving up what is comfortable. Following him means loss. but it's replaced with something that is much more valuable. Oftentimes, I'm afraid we will be successful at things that are worthless. And we give up what is comfortable. We expect nothing from Him but to be with Him. And the result is we get something that's far more valuable. And we need unwavering obedience. We need to follow Him. And let me be clear. When you follow Him, it's not a bed of roses. Well, maybe it is. The roses just have lots and lots of stickers. And it will lead to difficulties. And it will lead to problems we don't understand. And we'll be at our wits' end and we don't know what to do. And that's where we need to trust Him with unflinching faith. To be a disciple of Christ, we follow Him. We know who He is. And we follow Him with unwavering ability and unflinching faith. Maybe you've been to the Rocky Mountains. Can you imagine being on a steep ski slope? There's a little girl, 8, 9 years old, and the skiers are just swishing by her. Daddy, I'm afraid. Daddy, I don't know how to do this. Daddy, the hill is big and steep. And you know what we oftentimes do? We say, oh, little girl, don't worry. The hill is not that big. The hill is not that steep. You can do it. And the little girl says, no, I'm afraid. And she's paralyzed with fear. The hill is big. I can't do this. And the daddy responds, here I am. I'll go down the hill with you. I'll be at your side. Will you obey me? Will you follow me? You see what Matthew does? He puts the stories together to show who he is and what he can do. Will you obey me completely? Will you trust me fully? The combination of these stories answers the questions what we should do. We follow with unwavering obedience. We follow with unflinching faith. And you say it's scary. I agree, it's scary. But just take one step at a time. And you exercise obedience. You take one step at a time. And you exercise your faith. You see, we start the journey by following Christ. There's a song that we love that we sing at our church. It's called Where He Leads Me. There's a great broad road in the meadow, and many travel there. But I have a gentle Savior. I will follow anywhere. Up a narrow path through the mountains to the valley far below, to be ever in His presence. Where He leads me, I will go. There's a wonder, many a wonder of voices. Day and night, they fill the air. But there's one small, quiet one. I would know it anywhere. In the city or in the wilderness, there's a ringing crystal clear. And to be ever close beside him, when he calls me, I will hear. Where he leads me, I will follow. When he calls me, I will hear. There's a great broad road to nowhere, and so many travel there. But I have a gentle Savior I would follow anywhere. Though the journey take me far away from the place I call my home. Could I stop there? What will you choose to be successful at? Are you going to live for yourself? Are you going to be successful at things that really don't count? I have a friend, his goal in life is to eat a hot dog in every major league baseball park. I don't mind eating hot dogs. I don't mind baseball. But if that is the goal in life, there's something wrong. And my greatest fear for me and for you is that we will be successful at something that doesn't count. In Germany, I won't tell you it was easy. I mean, I lived in Germany. I grew up there. Growing up there, it was not easy. I left there. I was glad to get away. The culture is harsh and aggressive. I like being in here. When Kathy and I left as a family to go to Germany, it was difficult. But we followed him. It was not easy to leave what you love so much. It would have been easy to say, well, Christ, you know, when my kids are older, when we have enough of this and that, then we're willing to serve. Nope. When he calls, I will hear. Where he leads me, I will follow. For us in Germany, it cost. For you, here in Findlay, Ohio, it may cost. I promise you it will. You may have to leave Findlay. You may have to just leave your comfort zone. You may have to step out in faith and say, church, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to. You're going to have a third service. You're going to do all kinds of things. Okay. That means I need to help. I'm going to be involved. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but wherever you lead me, I'll follow. Maybe it's close to home. Maybe it is picking up a phone and calling a family member that you're estranged from and saying, you know, we fell out over something 20 years ago that really doesn't matter. And I'm so sorry. We should be friends again. Maybe you need to serve him wherever he will, in whatever he wants. To serve with unfailing, unwavering obedience and unflinching faith. What do you get? To be ever in his presence, where he leads me, I will go. You give up, but you gain so much more. To be ever in his presence, where he leads me, I will go. You say, what does this have to do with missions? Well, I decided I'm not going to talk to you about our great ministry and how the Lord has blessed you. What we decided to do is we'll show you what we do. This is what we do at the schools, and this is what we do at the churches. And you in Findlay, Ohio, have had a part in that. To be ever in his presence, where he leads me, I will go. Let me pray. Father, for many of us, this is scary. We don't really know what you want from us. And you ask us to trust you. You ask us to obey you. And we're unsure. Would you help us take the first step on the journey of becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ? You know our past. You know our fears. And we want to obey you and trust you. Because you promise to always be there. Where he leads me, I will follow. When he calls me, I will hear. To be ever in your presence, Lord, that's our desire. And that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.